Have you been thinking about it?
Amen.
Have you been directing your prayers toward it?
Yes.
I believe, and I think you do as well, it's high time for revival. And maybe it's even past time. And thank you. Let's pray, folks. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that we can come to you. Thank you for this service this morning. Thank you for everyone that's here. Lord God, just bless us. Give us your word, Lord. Let us understand it. Let us respond to it. And Lord God, visit us. Visit us. Touch every spirit. Don't let us leave like we came. Let us be different. Changed by your spirit, Lord. And I thank you for that. Use me as a vessel, your vessel. And Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. What we need is a trigger. Something that triggers revival. Amen? Something that triggers revival. So come, Lord Jesus, show up and show off. We need the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our midst because we need a change and our world needs to change also. Amen. Change only comes through the Holy Spirit. Any kind of permanent change only comes through the Holy Spirit as He empowers us and equips us to do the works of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
So, brothers and sisters, I want you to fill in the blank here for me this morning. I want you to shout out the answer to these statements, okay? I'm going to leave a blank. The church needs
revival.
That wasn't loud enough. Come on.
Revival.
We need
revival.
The world needs
revival.
We're crying out to God for
revival.
Are you ready for
revival?
Acts chapter 19, please. Acts chapter 19, starting with verse number 10. Acts 19, starting with verse number 10.
Amen.
All right, verse 10. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, verse 12, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." There were 7 sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowering them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. They got whooped, folks. Amen. This became known both to all Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 1,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. Amen. Amen. Every person, every community, every organization, every religious entity, every nation, every world government is desperate for a touch from God. They just don't know it. The Bible tells us that every king and kingdom will eventually bow before the Almighty. So, folks, because of the mess we are all in, we need a touch from God like never before. Amen? I hope that you agree with me that we must experience a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit at least one more time before Jesus returns. So let's pray for revival that shakes the souls of men and women so that they run to the altar crying out for Jesus and for their salvation. Amen. Now, we do face a daunting problem in America and perhaps elsewhere, and the church should be helping. However, too many churches are nothing more than meeting halls. There isn't enough power of God, most of them, to heal a flea of a headache, much less cast out a demonic spirit. Some claim to have it, others may appear to have it, but where is the manifested power? We don't see it. We don't see it. The churches, the preachers, the Christians, all of us must earnestly pray and seek for an anointing of the Holy Spirit if we expect His glory manifested in these last days. Can I have an amen?
Amen?
Now, there are a number in the Christian community, evangelists and teachers, that may possess mountain-moving, sin-killing, devil-chasing, and miracle-working faith. But there are too many others who preach to please the parishioners and avoid discussing the commands of the Lord, who seek to soothe the mind rather than save the soul. We never see them preaching the gospel of salvation or repentance. They never allow the Holy Spirit to fall in waves across the congregation, filling people with the Spirit's mighty power. We don't see them preaching the truth that is only found in the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. I am so grateful that there are true men and women of God whose message is not tainted, amen, and they don't have a desire to build a huge ministry or who water down the Word of God so as not to offend anyone. It is refreshing to see those with pure heart that don't feel the need to brag about how good they can pray or teach or preach or sing. And I love to hear those ministries that don't spend time begging for money. The ones who simply want to be heard with a clear voice and a true message. However, preaching the truth isn't always popular, and it isn't always received. But listen, brothers and sisters, if the preaching of the truth found in the Word of God offends you, then you probably need to be offended. Yeah. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 34, He said, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." If the message that I preach always makes you feel good, or if you always agree with everything I have to say, even though it is based on the truth of the Word, then you are either spiritually perfect, or I'm not preaching the right things to you. I cannot tell you the number of times the message I've preached to you is just as abrasive to me as it is to you. In fact, if the message doesn't speak to me, encourage me, or correct me, it's probably not going to speak to you either. Paul was on a mission directed by the Holy Spirit. God was leading him on a missionary journey in which Paul was to preach repentance, salvation, and receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul's message was not a message of wealth and prosperity. It wasn't a message of healing and miracles. It wasn't even a message of building churches or vast facilities. Neither was it a message that brought any focus on Paul's personal ministry. Paul was directed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, Him crucified, raised from the dead, and alive forevermore. Everywhere the Apostle Paul traveled, he pointed people to Jesus, showing them the way to salvation. And even though his messages were often difficult for people to hear, Paul was not deterred from his mission. Amen?
Hallelujah.
He had come to Ephesus to preach the gospel and was committed to do what God had instructed. Thank God Paul wasn't as easily distracted as we are today. Jobs, family troubles, illness, finances, personal desires, worldly pleasures are among all the distractions that capture our attention. They steal our thoughts. They steal our time. In fact, we often forget what our primary mission in life really is, to tell people about Jesus. Today, we need preachers and believers alike who will come with the same attitude as Paul, that when he said these words that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1 through 5. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Verse 3, "I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Verse 5, "that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Amen. Listen, folks, we don't want to hear someone dazzle us with their knowledge, entertain us with their talents, or tell us about the power of the Holy Spirit. We need preachers and teachers and disciples of Christ who have the Holy Spirit's power within them. When we picture the ministry of Jesus, we realize that He didn't have an entourage, nor did He have chariots and horses to parade Him to the next teaching event. And Jesus didn't speak in the elaborate arenas or coliseums of His day. Jesus taught from house to house. He taught on the road, and He taught overlooking the hillside. No, Jesus didn't have the trappings of what we call success today. But oh, the mighty power of the Word, mighty power of the Word in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. Power to heal the sick, power to raise the dead, power to change the heart, power to renew the mind, but most importantly, power to connect heaven and earth, power to save a lost world. Do you want that kind of ministry, saints? Amen. Do you want that kind of ministry? Yes. I believe you and I hunger for the truth of the gospel, a message from the Word of God that will stir our souls and set our hearts on fire for Him. I believe the world is hungry for something real, something powerful, something that will be life-changing, and something we won't forget by Monday morning. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about Jesus. Tell me about His love, His forgiveness, mercy, and grace. Tell me about His blood that was shed just for me. Just for me. Tell me about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire that will explode within me. I need the real thing, not some weak, watered-down message that doesn't have enough power to chase devils out of the room. Saints, are you willing to pay the price and live for Jesus so that He can entrust you with a true anointing? Let me ask you that again. Are you willing to pay the price and live for Jesus so that He can entrust you with a true anointing? There is no way that we can make things happen in church. There is no way we can make up for a lack of anointing. We cannot attempt things in the natural so that it appears to be a move of God. That's simply in the flesh. And revival doesn't happen just because we get a bunch of people to come to a 40 days of purpose program. Amen. An outward appearance does not equal a mighty move of God. It just doesn't. And I think you will agree with me that we can have the outward appearance of a mighty move of God if we want it. If we want it. More families would come if you had a younger preacher. Or maybe we need to build an entertainment center. But folks, I'm not interested in outward trappings. You may say, I'm sorry about that. I'm interested in a mighty move of God. I want the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to change the hearts and lives of sinners. Isn't that how the New Testament church grew? Amen. Anything less than that is just plain church. Just plain church, and there isn't any anointing in that. No outpouring of the Holy Spirit. No real life-altering experiences. For revival, we don't need men's plans. We need God's direction and God's anointing. Amen? Paul didn't have to ask for a ministry of healing. Healing came with the anointing. Amen? Yes, people requested prayer cloths for the sick and diseased. Today, I'm concerned that someone would build a whole ministry around Paul's prayer cloths. Just send your gift of $20 to receive one of these miracle-working prayer cloths. But wait, for an additional $20, we'll send you six extra miracle-working prayer cloths. Just think of that. You can have seven miracles of healing for the low price of $40. Seven miracles for the price of two. But wait. If you act now by calling this toll-free number and putting the order on your credit card, you can enjoy a free 8x10 glossy picture of Pastor Paul in the very act of applying one of these prayer cloths to as he ministered during one of his recent healing revivals. If Paul had acted like that, he would have never had to make tents or to work and earn his living as he preached in various cities. But Paul knew that those kind of shenanigans would only cheapen the message of the gospel, amen, resulting in fake conversions. Paul wasn't interested in a false version of revival. He wanted the real deal. Too much of the church world today has the same mindset as the seven sons of Sceva, who thought that they could buy their way or fake their way into heaven. They realized too late that their power wasn't real. Just wasn't real. They realized too late that Satan doesn't play games with make-believe Christians. The devil would just stand next to the false teacher in the pulpit, laughing and jumping for joy because no one's hearing the real gospel. The demons will have a picnic in the back of the church during the service because they love the entertainment. But where is the Holy Spirit? He's visiting the church down the road, whose members are seeking and praying and weeping for revival. Now listen to me, folks. It isn't just preachers and ministries that try to fake their ways like the sons of Sceva. I wonder if the fact that there are seven sons doesn't speak to us of the complete deception that Satan had brought to the modern church. Can we not see what the devil is doing? And dear saints, this deception doesn't begin with the leader alone, but with any one of us who's made compromises, or with any believer who has not fully committed his way to the Lord. We all must search our own heart and evaluate our own walk to determine if we've been deceived by the enemy. Is there something amiss in your life? In mine, is it time for some introspection? Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says this, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The question we must ask ourselves is this, is Jesus first in my life, or is there something else that takes precedence, putting the Lord further down on my list of priorities? Is being ready for the coming of the Lord more important to you than getting ready for your next weekend getaway? Is studying the Word of God more important to you than watching the latest movie? Is being in the house of God more important to you than using your Sunday to visit Grandma or Aunt Lucy? Is your prayer life more important to you than your telephone, YouTube videos, or computer games? Are you living in obedience to the Word of God, witnessing about the love of Jesus, imitating the life of Christ, sacrificially loving one another, giving your tithes to support your church and your offerings to bless others? Or are you still making excuses why you can't obey God? Let's get real, folks. Amen. We want real revival. Please don't stone the messenger. My wife wouldn't like it. Just like we can expect a mighty move of God, an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and a great revival where lost souls are saved, we can't expect that if we're living in disobedience. The sons of Sceva were chased away in utter defeat. And my fear is that the church may live in defeat if we continue to ignore the call of God and simply play church. Don't just play the part of a Christian and live in defeat. Don't do it. Get real with God and live in victory. Hallelujah. Yesterday, Brother Glenn and I went to a seminar. And we were taught by this lawyer about what was coming upon the church and how to protect the church from what's coming. And it will be very easy to be a political church from this point on. It'd be very easy to do what the society wants us to do. But it'll be very difficult to stand up and proclaim Jesus. The sons of Sceva were called vagabond Jews or exorcists. A vagabond is nothing more than a bum or a gypsy. They would travel from place to place, living off the handouts of people or whatever they could easily steal. An exorcist is someone who appears to be spiritual and pretends to cast out demonic spirits through some unscriptural means. There are still vagabonds and exorcists lurking around the church today. You may have seen some. Many of them won't commit to serving the Lord because they're too busy flitting from church to church, to place, and they refuse to stay somewhere long enough to put down spiritual roots so that they can grow in the Lord. Some folks enjoy going from church to church to skim off the cream on the top of what's being taught. But they don't stay long enough to get the real meat. Too often people love to hear the good stuff, but won't listen if the anointed message convicts them of wrongdoing. We also have pretenders in the church. We are a great society of pretenders, learning how to put on the facade so that we look really spiritual to other people. But we can't help but know deep down inside that we're nothing more than whitewashed sepulchres full of dead men's bones. Harsh words, yeah. Because we're soon to meet Jesus. We need to be ready. Amen. The Lord wants to find us busy about the Father's business. Are you hungry for the real thing, folks? Have you gone to church time and time again looking for an answer, but you can't seem to find it? Does life feel empty for you? Do you sense that everything around you is just about to crumble and fall? Jesus is your answer. Jesus is your answer. I want you to know this morning that there is only one foundation that will stand the test of time, trouble or judgment. And that foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything else that you've trusted is nothing more than a lie from Satan. Any self-ambition, self-promotion, self-glorification is just Satan's way of steering you in the wrong direction. Christianity is a self-sacrificing life. Your enemy looks at fake Christianity laughing at the coming eternal doom to those who practice it. He is aware of every facade and sees the pain and emptiness it covers. But beloved, the devil will never provide help for you. He will not do it. He can't. He can't. So brothers and sisters, Jesus is here this morning. He's here this morning. He is here to set you free from all that has you bound. Jesus is here to wash you with his precious blood, make your life new again. He's here to offer you eternal life. He's here to heal you. He is here to give you victory. He is here to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. You don't need to fake it anymore. It's time to grab hold of the real thing. And you will know when it's real.
Amen.
Amen. You will know. Once you have experienced the reality of God's saving grace and experienced the power that comes with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you will never be able to settle for a fake spirituality again. Amen. It will no longer satisfy, folks. It will no longer satisfy. Only Jesus can fill the void in our life. After the sons of Sceva were chased away by the man possessed with demons, a mighty revival broke out in Ephesus, and lives were forever changed. That's the result of true revival. They threw out their occult books and all their idolatrous materials because they had experienced the real thing. When you hear of people discarding worldly items, changing habitual sin patterns, you will know that there's been a real move of God in the church. Suddenly, they will quit calling the psychic hotline. Amen. They'll quit visiting pornographic websites and playing the devil's music. Come on. No longer do they crave drugs, sex, money, or power. They will cleanse their personal homes and their personal lives and their homes. That's when you know people are not faking anymore. Amen? When folks start throwing away everything that keeps them from focusing on God, anything that can lead them into temptation, even though those things have cost them greatly, and when knowing God and having an experience with Him becomes more important than the world that they loved, that's when you know true revival has come. When we throw away the crutches and throw away the temptations, do you need a revival in your soul right now?
Yes.
Do you desire a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you want to feel clean inside, overflowing with joy? Do you simply need salvation, or maybe you need a healing? Folks, we give it to Jesus. We give it to Jesus. He sets us free, and He fulfills all our needs. Let the word of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, and the presence of Almighty God grow mightily in you. Mightily. It will happen when you finally get real with God and surrender to Him. Now, listen to me here. The demons who chased off the sons of Sceva were showing the whole world the difference between the true power of God and the fake spirituality of those who only possessed an appearance of God's power. And please understand what I'm about to say. The demons in this story unwittingly triggered a mighty revival in Ephesus. If God wants to start a revival, He can use even demons to do it. Wouldn't you rather let God use you or me? I was thinking earlier this morning, Brother Dave's healing could trigger a revival. I believe that if we surrender to Jesus, we will have a revival at Turning Point Church. And folks, we need it. We need it. You know, I have been asking God to let the last day revival begin right here. Right here. Let it begin here. Let it begin here. In the church we were in Louisiana, this man came through the door one time and he said, "I need to get saved." And the preacher we had then said, "Well, you sit down right here." And he preached his whole message to the guy. And I felt bad for him. He needed to get saved. And I thought, if that ever happened to me, I'm going to just lead the guy in prayer right then. Wouldn't that be wonderful if they come through the door looking to be saved? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if they came to the church before they went to the hospital? Yes. We need revival. The Satan has had a game plan. What Glenn and I found out yesterday that it's been going on for quite a while, and we've been sleeping again as usual. But with the laws that are currently on the books and that, we could get in a lot of trouble real quick. Stumbling through things. Church needs protection. Amen. It's worse than I thought it would be. And it's not time to play church anymore. Time to be the church. And that's the only way that we'll overcome these things. It's sad. It's sad. That's right. Bonnie just said, "We got the victory." We do. We can have it, even when it doesn't look like we got it. Because we've got somebody on our side that's bigger, more powerful than anybody on their side.
Amen to that.
God's good and all the time, but we need revival. God's good and all the time, but we've relaxed. We've let things happen. Harold, is that me clicking again?
What I heard last week is that the parents have no more authority over their child choosing an alternate lifestyle. And if a child indicates that in public school, parents are shut out, or they will be.
Well, we didn't hear exactly that, but I think Glenn will agree with me. It's real close to that. Our world has changed. All of a sudden, boom, man, where did it go? Where did our old world go? My dad used to whip me.
And one or two more generations have taken over.
Well, the word says where sin abounds, grace abounds.
That's come on.
Good point. Yeah.
Come on. That's why we had the victory.
That's why we had the victory. And that's why there's no sin or intention of sin greater than the blood of Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
We win in the end.
In the end.
You won't find battles. Rider in the darkness.
Right.
Yes.
And I'm saying all that, folks, because we've got to be real. It's time to quit playing church. It's time to stop being this guy on the fence. It's time to be serious about the God we serve. And operate under the anointing where the victory is ours. It's time for revival. I can spend days up here praying. I'm not going to, but I can spend days praying. But what does God want? He wants all of us praying. He doesn't want just old Jerry doing it. Well, and the beauty of prayer is you can do it where you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just tell them you're in God's house and you're busy. You get embarrassed and you can't do what you normally can do with them folks. God's good, folks. And I'm not after you. I'm telling you that we need to do some serious thinking on these things. We need to use our thoughts and to decide, am I going to serve God no matter what it costs me? Am I going to look to God? Am I going to be ready for revival? Or am I going to let just coast along like we've done for so long? I'm ready for revival. I'm ready for God to lift us up. Lift us up. I was raised in the church. Wasn't a Christian, but I was raised in the church, and I have seen so many changes in the church. So many changes. You know, all the kids up here today, and what did you see on their face? Where did they get that from?
Us.
What's being taught at school?
Right.
Everything's different.
Yeah, whole society. Yeah. That's society. Why would you want this? Right. With God, if we're revived, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That's what I want. I want something to trigger revival in this place. And I don't care if God uses demons. It's worked before. It can work again. Yeah, rather not. I'd rather you trigger revival.
Yes. You wouldn't have to fight as hard.
It'd be easier transition, wouldn't it? Yeah. So let's pray. And folks, I hope I'm getting you thinking about this. I know there is so much more that God has than what we are experiencing. Amen. Lord Jesus, send revival. Send revival. Lord, I look at these young people and, Lord, they reflect how we feel. We're tired. We're exhausted. We're drained. And yet we're supposed to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. That means we need revival. So Lord, send revival. Send revival. Send revival. Lord, let it start here. We encourage you to start it here, Lord. Let something trigger revival in our hearts, souls, minds, bodies, Lord. Send revival. Send the anointing of the Holy Spirit to reside on people, Lord, as well as in people. And as we go about doing the works of Jesus Christ, that's what your word says. That's what we should be doing. So, Lord, thank you that you're going to do it. You're going to refresh us. You're going to rebuild us. You're going to make us brand new one more time. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Love you guys. Shake some hands, hug some necks, folks.